here today.
Shiras le'ilui nishmas Ephraim ben Asher Angel.
We have to begin a new malacha. It is definitely one of the most complicated malachas. It's the one malacha we can probably say what the Mishnah Berurah writes in his introduction to Shabbos, is that if a person doesn't learn the new Shabbos properly, it is almost impossible to avoid Chil Shabbos. And this malacha is a malacha of Boirer, one of the most confusing malachas. The reason why it's so confusing is that with the nuance of a mashav, you can be dealing with a potential deraisa, something that's mutl legamri. So it really, really becomes important for us to just to chazer again, to just concretize some of the rules as relate to malacha Boirer. So we begin the malacha Boirer, Boirer means to separate. When we begin the malacha Boirer, so we almost continue on the heels of what we left off last week when we spoke about the malacha of Zoreh. Zora means to winnow, so we said that winnowing means to throw something up to the wind, and then the wind separates the grain, etc., 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 and the good from the bad, and along those lines, whether or not there's any relevance to spraying aerosol cans or not. That was our grandiose demonstration last week. But the bottom line is that the malacha of Zora is clearly one of the longest malachas. And the Gemara has a statement that says, Hayu Bora, Hayu Zora, Hayu Merakeid, that there are three malachas that are almost identical to one another. One is the malacha of Zora, of winnowing, one is Bora, of separating, one is Merakeid, sifting. And the only reason why they're singled out as separate malachas is because each one of them was actually practiced in the Mishkan. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, in terms of conceptually, they're really one and the same. What is it that makes these malachas one and the same? So obviously, they're all involved with the separation of good and bad. So that is the definition of the malacha. When you have a borer of psoles from ochel, ochel from psoles, we'll have to find through what exactly the details mean. But the basic yourself, the basic mahos of the entire malacha is the separating of good and bad, bad from good, etc. The only problem is that it's going to take us a lot of time to define what exactly those terms mean. What does it mean, good? What does bad mean? What does separating mean? Otherwise, we have the malacha down pat. So let's see if we can begin to understand what those basic terms of good and bad, because I'll use the terms ochel and psoles are all about. So at first glance, when you look at the terms of ochel and psoles, so you conjure up an image of something which is objectively ochel, something which is objectively psoles. Let's look at some of the models that existed. So the Gemara always talks about what's called tzidur, the pas, the procedures that are necessary to making bread. So if you have a grain, and the grain's already mixed up with some other stuff, there are pebbles around, other garbage, dirt, all mixed up with the good, edible stuff, so you have to start to separate the good from the bad. So here you have objective good, and you have objective bad, and that is the malacha of Boirer. So when you have separations of souls and ochel, that I understand. But that's when we're dealing with something which is objectively bad, something which is inedible. What if you're dealing with two good things? They're both very good things. Neither of them is psoles per se, but it's just that you happen not to want one of them right now. Is that considered to be psoles? Is that considered to be malacha of borer altogether? So 99% of the time when we have shalos of borer, our shalos of borer aren't also much questions of psoles from ochel. Our shalos are more things where both of them are pretty good. It's just that I prefer one now, or I prefer one later, or someone else prefers one now, etc. So let's say a person has a mixture of raisins and peanuts or something. A person has a mixture of, peas and carrots. A person has a mixture of black socks and white socks. A person has a mixture of car toys and car people and car blocks and a whole thrown strewn out over the whole floor. So there's nothing bad about any of those things. Raisins are great and peanuts are good. And car toys are wonderful, and car little dollars are also great, depending on what you want to play with it, a doll or a car. So there's nothing that's bad per se, so should we even be talking about any of these things? So this is a major, major question. So if one decides that Bora doesn't apply to any of those cases because there is no real solace here, so then we pretty much finish, and we can finish up the donuts, and we'll call the day, move on to Mishul or something, the next level. But if we can take the approach that Bora... But we still have to talk about anything. But if Borer applies to multiple, quote-unquote, good things, it's just that right now they're not all good in my eyes, so then we have to really, really work on some of the nuances of Borer to get it down pat. So what is the answer to that fundamental question? Is there Borer to non-real objective ochel psoles? So why in a million years would we think that there is? The Gemara uses the terms ochel psoles. So why do we even dream that the term psoles means anything more than it sounds like? So psoles means bad, means something which is garbage, which is trash. Why in the world should we think that Borer applies outside of the realm of objective ochel psoles? There is a braisa that the Gemara quotes from Sefer Shabbos in the Fayin Dalet, but the Gemara starts off with the Rabbanan. The Gemara talks about Hayel of Fun of Mine Ochlin, that a person has multiple different kinds of foods in front of him, and then the Gemara starts rattling off all the details of Bora, Bora B'Yoycha, Bora L'Aniyah, Bracha L'Tabiyah, Bracha L'Yalta, all the details, everything that hopefully we're going to spend weeks and weeks on. Bora is a very, very long, complicated halacha. So all the coolers of Bora, all the things that you're allowed to do, all the ways of Bora, sometimes Bora is mutlak achila. So all the nuances of when Bora is and when it's not are all found in this braisa. And the heading of the braisa, the introductory line of the braisa is, Hayel fun of mine eichlin. The person has different kinds of foods in front of him. What in the world does that term mean? Hayel fun of mine eichlin. It's a very, very strange term. So one can simply interpret the term to mean Hayel fun of mine eichlin ve'chule, namely, and also mine psalmist. Namely, that the Bryce is talking about if you have carrots and you have pebbles and if you have potatoes and if you have dirt. So mine ochel just means no matter what kind of ochel you happen to be dealing with, if it happens to be an accompanying soles, so then you have a problem of boira. So that could be pshat in the braisa. So that the braisa doesn't really need to say anything. The braisa is not being merame, it's not hinting to any grandiose chiddush inuchas boira. It's just talking about the ochel, and it's self-explanatory, self-understood, that there are psalmists that is accompanying the ochel as well. But Tosfos disagrees with what I just said. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, who had an extra word in the Gemara. The gears of Rabbeinu Chananel was, Hayu l'fun of shnei mine ochlin, that the person has two types of foods in front of him. So why does the braisa have to talk about two kinds of foods? If the goal of the braisa is just to talk about ochel and psalmists, if the real punchline of the braisa is to highlight that there is bora between ochel and objective psoles, so then it should have said hayu l'fun of ochel psoles, hayu l'fun of mine ochlin, hayu l'fun of something or other. But shnei mine ochlin sounds like the number two is important, that the number two is there for a purpose. What is the purpose of highlighting number two? The Tosfos writes, what the braisa must mean, if that is the correct girsa, is that the mere fact that you have two different meaning in front of you, that is what's creating the situation of Bora in front of us. That Shnei is very, very deliberate. The word Shnei is very, very critical to the discussion because it is specifically because you have Shnei. It is Dafka because you have two things in front of you. That is what is setting the stage for a potential Bora problem. So comes a Rebbeinu Chananel and comes, tells us and explains a Rebbeinu Chananel and says, we have a grandiose chiddush in Chas Bora. Bora does not just mean pebbles and flour. Bora does not just mean garbage and potatoes. Bora means if and when you have two minim in front of you, you have two different species, two different kinds of things in front of you, and they happen to be mixed together. They're not mixed together. Let's say, for example, I have a donut over here and I have a cup of coffee over here. That's not Bora. They have nothing to do with each other. But if they're Ura B'yachad, we'll see what that means also, hopefully. But if they're mixed together, even though there is nothing bad here, there is no real psalmist, there is no objective psalmist here, that is a potential serious problem of Bora. Such a serious problem of Bora that the Gemara uses the term Chayev. Chayev always means a deraisa. So it also says you can have Bora deraisa even though there's no real objective psalmist. What happened? Where is the psalmist? If it's not objective psalmist, why is it psalmist? The answer is it is not objective psalmist, but it is subjective psalmist. What makes it subjective psalmist? Because I don't want it right now. I want to eat raisins. I don't want to eat peanuts. I want to eat carrots. I don't want to eat peas. It could be that I love eating raisins and I love eating peanuts at different times. It's possible. Right now I'm in the peanut mode. Right now I'm in the carrot mode. Right now I'm in mode X. I'm not in mode Y. So whatever I'm interested in right now takes on the halachic status of an ochel. Whatever I don't want right now, b'shiloh sham, takes on the status of psoles. Now I have a tarobus of ochel and psoles in front of me. Once I have a tarobus of ochel and psoles in front of me, then I'm asking for trouble. Then I have a potential problem with bora, even on love of derai. So, notwithstanding what Tosfos suggests, and notwithstanding Tosfos' girsa, according to Rebbeinu Chananel's girsa, Rashi doesn't seem to say this. Rashi doesn't seem to buy into this. Rashi doesn't even have the word shnei. So the whole edifice that Tosfos created was built on one word that Rashi didn't even seem to have. How do we pask in halacha and nishayla? So Shulchan Aruch, we pask in l'chumra and nishayla. Most of the Rishonim did follow Rebbeinu Chananel. Rambam, most of the Rishonim did follow that tradition that Bora can apply Minat Torah even in the absence of an objective soles. And that has been the accepted halacha for quite some time, for hundreds of years already. That's what we pass in halacha. The minhag gamru, that bore does apply even though there's nothing bad, there's nothing terrible. The mere fact that I don't want something, that in of itself could be a potential bala bore. So that opens up our world in terms of bore. That could open up bore for peas and carrots, and it could open up bore for potatoes and barley and beans inside of children, and it can open up bore for black socks and white socks and purple socks. It can open up bore for toys and a lot of potential bore problems are now going to begin to have to be discussed because we accept this person.
Because the Gemara
says we're chayav in that brisa, on that brisa. Yeah, the Gemara uses the word chayav. So
the shnei limit.
Right, what about shnei? Right, shnei is just the minimum. Right. Shnei is the minimum. Forget that. If you have more, then maybe even more problem, more of a taros. Maybe even look like it's more mixed together. So then, yeah, for here on in, we're going to assume that there is bara deraisa in both cases of solas and ochel, as well as subjective ochel and solas. The question is: there any difference in the two? Is there any practical difference at all between the two different types of bara? We know that both baras exist now, according to most Rishonim. Is there any real difference between the two? So there is a famous kasha that's asked by one of the Gedolei Chachamim, Yeshua Yaakov. Mishnah Berurah quotes this question. But Yeshua Yaakov posed the question about the very fundamental nature of the melacha of bora. Yeshua Yaakov wants to know, why is anyone ever chayav in bora? Why is bora ever a melacha derais in the first place? Every bora should presumably be a melacha she'en atzricha l'gufa. As I throw back to some of the things we spoke about months ago, melacha she'en atzricha l'gufa basically means I do a melacha in such a way that I'm removing something. I'm not really using the item that I want. I'm getting rid of something. So the classic example the Mishnah says, if a person carries something on Shabbos that he doesn't want to use, let's say a person takes out the garbage on Shabbos. So I don't want the garbage in the house. I want to get rid of the garbage. Look at the garbage case. Let's take the garbage off the shoe. Okay, so a person wants to take out that bell garbage off the shoe. So if you were doing it on Shabbos, so it wouldn't be a melacha deraisa. Why? Because I don't want to use the garbage. I want to remove the garbage. So the melacha of carrying is to use the item. If, let's say, when I finish dumping out the garbage, I take the pail back inside, so that would be a melacha deraisa on the pail. Because the pail, I want to use the pail for the next set of garbage. So that's considered melacha deraisa. Some of you may be wondering, so when I took it out the first time, even though I'm not chayav in the garbage inside the pail, why aren't they chayav for the pail itself? So the answer is, the Mishnah says, that the pail is bottled to the garbage. That when the whole goal of the pail was just to, right now, to transport the garbage, so since I'm potter in the garbage, because it's melacha shetzich l'gufa, the male I'm potter in the pail also. But when the garbage is empty, and now I bring the pail back in, so then I'm using the pail because I want to use the pail, then it becomes a potential melacha deraisa. So that's a principle called melacha she'etzich l'gufa. So the basic mahalach of melacha she'etzich most of the time is, I'm trying to get rid of something rather than actually use something. We spoke about this a lot a couple of weeks ago in Disha, the person who's milking the cow. So I'm trying to get rid of the milk. I don't really want to drink the milk. I like to drink milk, but I'm not going to eat the chapa, so I'm not going to drink this milk. I'm throwing the milk into the garbage. So the Chazanish held that when you milk the cow to get rid of the milk, that cannot possibly be a deraisa, because that's malacha le'ibud, that's malacha yatzich le'gufa. So we gave examples. That a woman is nursing, so she can't nurse today, but she wants to get rid of the milk, so she doesn't want to use the milk. She's not going to use the milk. She wants to extract the milk because it's painful. So that's, again, getting rid of something, throwing something into the garbage. That's not considered to be a melacha deraisa. So ask the Shus Yaakov, why don't we say that every bora is that? Because what bora usually means is removing the bad from the good. We're going to talk a little bit about that as we go on, but that's 100% true. But most of the time, bora is the bad from the good. So let's say, for example, a person has a pile of grain, and there's some pebbles, there's some dirt inside the pile. So he goes, and he with his hands, he goes, and he plucks out some of the pebbles, gets rid of some of the dirt. So boom, that's a melacha deraisa bora. Your bora psalms for ocha, that's a disaster. So ask the Shus Yaakov, why is that a disaster? What's the deraisa? The worst sort of problem. I'm just removing the bad. So removing the bad is like taking out the garbage. It's like extracting the milk. It's like milking the cow onto the floor. So why should that be any more of a melacha? So ask the Shus Yaakov, the very melacha bora should always be butter, because capably that it's always a melacha energy for the gufa. So comes the Shus Yaakov and says, the answer to that question must be as follows, that we have to redefine the melacha bora. Very long the shavar. What's the nature of the melacha bora? Is the nature of the melacha bora the removal of the bad? Or is the nature of the melacha of borer the correcting, the improving of the good? So here I have this pile in front of me, and there's a lot of garbage on it. I got this big, big pile of cookies here, and I got a pebble there, I got a clump of dirt over here, and I want to eat the cookies. So I have a big, big mixture here of good and bad. So it's true that physically I removed the bad, that the malacha is not nikra al-shem, the removal of the bed. The malacha is nikra al-shem, the yifoy of what's left behind. So I'm being meyafe, I'm improving, I'm helping out, I'm assisting myself to be able to eat this, whatever's left behind. So the malacha is nikra al-shem, that's not called malacha shef l'gufa. Malacha shef l'gufa means when the shem of malacha is removal, it's a carrying. The shem of malacha is the act of carrying. I'm carrying to remove. When it comes to disha, the shem of malacha is the extracting of the drink. So I'm extracting and throwing it into the garbage. But over here, the name of the malach is not the removal of the bear. The name of the malach is the improvement of the good. And that improvement of the good is the malach ha-tzricha v'gufa. That's the Shus Yaakov's Chiddush Gaon. So comes the Shus Yaakov himself, now questions himself, and he says, that makes sense when you're dealing with something which is really, really bad. So you have a pile of good food, and inside there you got a clump of dirt, you got pebbles, you got rocks, you got garbage. It's making it very, very difficult for you to enjoy that good, yummy food there. Says the Shus Yaakov, then I can understand, then I can explain away that when I remove the bad, I'm improving the good. But that svara breaks down, obviously, Shus Yaakov, when you have shnei minim, when everything is edible. So I got, it's a yummy, delicious chillin. There's yummy, delicious potatoes in there, delicious beans, delicious meat in there. Everything is great, everything is wonderful. I personally don't like the potatoes, so I start to patch around, I start to remove the potatoes. So you're going to tell me that removing the potatoes is a yipoy of what's left behind? Everything is good. I like potatoes. I don't like potatoes right now. There's nothing, it's not rotten potatoes. The potatoes are good, the beans are good, the barley is good, the meat's good, everything is good. So what kind of yipoy hadava? There's nothing that's lacking yipoy. So the only malacha is the removal. If it's only removal, then removal back to square one. So removal is the malacha of tzricha l'gufa. So the Shus Yaakov gets himself, he got himself into a kasha, he gave a teretz, and he rephrases the same kasha in a different, slightly different nuance. So we're back to square one, says the Shus Yaakov. How do we explain away bora number two? Bora number one, then we're dealing with something which is eichel and a psilis. This real garbage, this dirt, this pebbles that's sitting in my flour. So that I understand. That I can explain away. The malacha is nikra shem v'yipoy. But when we're dealing with two things which are both equally edible, just that right now I'm in the mood for potatoes, not in the mood for meat. So how can the world can you call that yipoy ha davar hanishar? There's nothing wrong with the davar hanishar. Why in the world should that be called the malacha altogether? So Shus Yaakov has a startling conclusion. He says that maybe in a chinami. Maybe that any Risha who says this, like within Chanan, tells any Risha who actually accepts this idea of the second level of Bara, maybe they hold the Malach Shetzer Luf is Chayef. There is a Machloikis Atarim, there is a Machloikis Rishon, the Ramadan of the Rishonim. So maybe the Chanami says this Shus Yaakov, maybe the way, maybe everyone that knows who hold Malach Shetzer Luf is Potter, maybe this would not be Chayef. It's not Shachar, this would be Chayef. So this is in response to Shapiro's question. This would throw a whole monkey wrench at our entire sugya. Namely, that even though there's a brisa that says, Avorah Shnei Minei Yochel, so that's the Giras HaChayav, maybe that brisa, Shloik Allah, maybe that brisa is Rabbi Yehuda. We know there are Tanoim who hold that way. So it would come out an unbelievable thing, according to Shus Yaakov, that the answer to your question is that in Achanam, it's not their ice, it's only Midr Rabbanim. So maybe, it's, I don't know what it is, it's not their ice, so the worst it is in Malach Shetzir
Begubah. Isn't that apples and oranges? On the one hand, you have the case that's objective. But if we're saying that the halacha applies even to the subject.
Okay, very good. Okay, excellent. So Yos is already one step ahead of the Shus Yaakov. Very good. So again, so the Shus Yaakov was barred with the kasha. How could Bara ever be chayef? It's always Malach Shetzir Begubah. He says, no, it's not true, not a kasha, because you're chayef for the yipoy hadavash and that's left behind. Correct, there's a second kasha, so he said that only makes sense when you're dealing with real psoles. So he says, you're right, you're no chinami. If you're dealing with not real psoles, it's just subjective, it will always fall under the heading of the Malach Shetzir Begubah and always be fatur the way we pass it. So the Mishnah Berurah has a big issue with this. The Mishnah Berurah says that the shittas don't match up in Rishonim. They don't match up in Shulchan Aruch. The whole thing doesn't match up. Because the Ruba, the Rishonim hold, the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim Paskin, Malach Shetzir Gufa is Potter. That's how we Paskin Malach, against the shittas of Rabba. We Paskin Potter, but in Shulchan Aruch we Paskin Borei Shnei Minyochum is Chayav. So how can you tell me that didn't Shulchan Aruch is Shalak Halacha? That's a funny thing I'm saying. The Shulchan Aruch Shalak Halacha also. Everyone Shalak Halacha. No one's Halacha. Of course we paskin that Malach Shetzir Gufa is Potter. And of course we paskin that the guy who separates the meat and the potatoes and the shoulders Chayav. We paskin, of course that's Bara D'Oraisa. So how can you explain this away? So Mishnah Berurah says, of course you have to say is that the same way that Shus Yaakov in his first kasha, we have to answer a second kasha as well. Namely, that since the halacha says that this depends on subjective, that the halacha does take into consideration what you want or don't want, so therefore, the mixture of the cholent is considered to be broken. The mixture of the cholent is considered to be not in a good shape. I have this yummy, delicious chilim in front of me. So I happen to like everything in the chilim. But right now, I'm not in a meat mood right now. I had my cholesterol ready. I had my pizza ready and ice cream for lunch today. I want to keep a little low on the cholesterol tonight. So I'll save my meat for tomorrow. So right now, I'm going to start to move the meat out. So the Shiros Yaakov has a second bar of kasha. There's nothing wrong with the meat. There's nothing wrong with the chilim. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is gevaldik. No, it's not gevaldik because you don't want the meat. So for you, don't want the meat. The halacha follows subjective, and therefore that meat is rotten. That meat has psoilus in it. That meat has garbage in it. Has comment about the meat and the chilim, but that meat is not supposed to be something that you don't want. So the same way I don't want a rock in a pile of flour, I don't want a piece of meat in the middle of my chilim. I want to eat a healthy part of the chilim. I want to eat all the other parts of that. I don't want the meat part of the chilim. I don't want to tell anyone who makes chilim for the shul. This has nothing to do with not a comment to anyone's quality chilim. So comes the Mishabura and says the same svar. The same way the Mishabura, the same way the Shiros Yaakov solved his first problem, he can solve a second problem as well. So that's the way the Mishabura goes. And this seems to be the way we accept the halacha, that nobody ever said such a thing. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that there is malacha bor, even on the level of deraisa, no matter what, whether it's echel psalos, shteminov, etc. But there's one thing that the Mishabura does concede, which becomes very, very relevant in halacha l'maisa. We had to first give the introduction for 15 minutes to appreciate where the Mishabura is coming from. Says the Mishabura, b'med devar mamur, when did he say such a svara that when you have good stuff and other good stuff, it's just that you don't want the good stuff right now, when can we say that's called oichel, b'sovus, b'mur yachad, and therefore the whole shulchan is ruined, and it's broken, it's like having garbage and having dirt here. When does that svara make sense? When it's mamish b'mur yachad, when it's really, really mixed together. So I take one look at this shulchan, I say, ugh, this shulchan, for me, this chilim is inedible the way it is. I have doctor's orders not to eat too much cholesterol, not to eat too much meat right now. So for me, on Friday night, this chilim is awful. This is a broken, this is a rotten chilim for me. I got to start fixing up the chilim. Okay, and that's a potential lach of deraisa. You're going to be yapping, it's not fine. But what if it's not so clear? What if it's not all mixed up together? What if you have a pile of things together? What if, let's say, go back to the meat, the mashal, or post-pork. You have a pile of belly, a pile of cold cuts. And let me tell you what's in the cold cuts. So you got some turkey on the turkey roll on the bottom, and you got some corned beef on top of it, then you got some pastrami on the net. I'm going for an order of worse for you. Then you got a slice of salami on top of that, you know. Is there anything we can get worse than that? And maybe some beef jerky out of it. We're getting pretty bad. Okay, the numbers are going up, they're going up fast. Okay, very too fast for us, okay? So I didn't say that you have soy on the bottom of the turkey. So at the end of the day, I have a pile of stuff, but it's not my Uraviyah. It's not like the Chulit model. It's not like it's all Mishkababab all together in one. It's piled up on top of another. And to boot, says the Mishkabura, it's also, there's no real solace here. It's really good. I like pastrami, I like corned beef, I like everything. I promise, I don't want to eat it right now for good reasons. So comes the Mishkabura and says, if a person simply removes the top level, the top layer, just to get to the bottom, he says, how can you call that borer? How can you say that's called borer? He said, what are you doing? You're being miyape the rest. What being miyape the rest? The rest wasn't impacted by the bad stuff. The salami on top is not impacting the turkey on the bottom. The salami on top is merely blocking the turkey. And therefore, says the Mishabura, when the salami is merely blocking the turkey, and everything is edible anyway, that's not really called borer. But then the Mishabura makes it about face, which I don't understand. And then the Mishabura says, but what if the top stuff was real psolus? So the Mishabura says, no, that would be a problem. That would be called borer. So that, I still, for many, many years, I've been struggling with this Mishabura. Maybe someone could help me with this. I don't understand the Mishabura. The whole thrust of the Mishabura is to say that when things are piled one on top of another, so it's not really called borer because you're not being miyapa the stuff underneath, you're just simply removing the stuff on top. And we accept la halacha that shnei mine ochlin is the same as ochl psolas because everything follows subjective also. So why in the world are the criteria different? Why when it comes to the piled up meat the Mishabura is willing to make, you can take off the top and eat what's on the bottom. But when it comes to real psolas, the Mishabura wouldn't permit that. So again, I don't understand it. I'm not sure what the Mishabura means with that. I'm not telling anyone yet, don't do anything yet this Shabbos with your piles of meat or anything hanging there, because we still have a lot more to talk about in terms of this time. But this potential clue of the Mishabura, that when you have everything that's edible and everything that's usable, and it's, if it's Ma'urav Yachad, then we have serious problems. But if it's not Ma'urav Yachad, then you're good to go. This could have impact in many, many cases. Besides just your salami, let's say, Marshall, you come going for Shabbos, and you have it in your suitcase. So you open up your suitcase, and you have your underwear, you have your undershirt, you have your socks, you have your pajamas, everything's piled up that your wife packed up so nicely for you, okay? And now I want to know, is there a shalom bore or what's here? So in theory, everything's good here. I got underwear, I got undershirts, I got shorts, I got socks, everything's gavaldi, everything's burning. But right now, I need a pair of socks. I don't need another undershirt. I'm wearing an undershirt. I want to put on a new pair of socks in the morning. Okay, I didn't say I'm such a man. No one should be dyke anything yet. So the bottom line is, I want clothes X, and I don't want clothing Y. But there's no soul in it. It's not like there's a ripped shirt. Everything is good. Everything's well looked after. So what would the din be? So it sounds like for the Mishnah Berurah that the din would be, that's okay. You could actually take off the stuff on top because everything is royal achila, royal levish over here. And my goal is just to get to the stuff on the bottom. And based on his authority, the shows Yaakov, I'm not going to miyap anything. So that would be okay. When would the Mishnah Berurah can see that's a problem? If it's like a children, if it's the children model, that would be a problem. So I think this is mamash his and hers. That if it's your suitcase is more likely than it's the children model. That's just threw everything in last minute Friday. Now you start to unpack. So we start to unpack Shabbos. All of a sudden, you're right, pafkin around. I can't find this. Can't find that. That's a problem. That's about, again, assuming the Berurah applies to clothing. We'll talk about that yet, hopefully, in weeks to come. But that would be a much closer to the chulot model, which even though everything is edible, but it's edible, it's more viachet. But if it's your wife's suitcase, it's most probably closer to the kolkot model. I didn't say she's permitted you to eat the kolkot. I said it's just closer to the kolkot model, and therefore that would probably be okay, according to what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. So I don't quite understand that. I don't quite understand the cool of the Mishnah Berurah, and I don't quite understand the chumrah of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said it. So Pesher also Peshitta, so he's the one who said the Sashtim Torah. So that's how we usually assume the halacha. That's what the later Pesach and Prophet is Mishnah Berurah, that in theory, if you have this model, so one can actually split between this model. But again, we're going to have to fine-tune this model a lot more as we go on, because we haven't even said anything about issues of is this being done for now, for being done for later, a lot of other factors that are going to go into this discussion. But there's one other issue.
Would there be you were talking about like the turkey, the good item was on the bottom. What if the turkey was one of the middle layers?
You'd have to remove the top layers, and according to Mishnah Berurah, that would probably be okay.
Because until you get to that one that you want. Right. Also, when you spoke about the luggage, I mean, if the wife and husband were in the same suitcase, that would be the primary problem.
Well, it depends who did the packing. If your wife did the packing, then it's probably Mr. Dar. If I did the packing, then it's probably not. I don't challenge anyone to take a look at some of those things we just unpacked. We might not say it publicly, but what's it going to look like inside? Okay.
Even if it's a complete mixture, why does that matter? When I get to the socks, that's not perfection.
That was my question against Mishnah Berurah. That's why I didn't understand. Once the Mishnah Berurah said that when you're dealing with Shnei Minim, so there's no yipoy of the dover, but what if there is a yipoy, there's no yipoy. So if you hold like against Ishur Yaakov and say that even Shnei Minim is considered to be a yipoy hadavar, so and then the Mishnah Berurah says, but when things are piled up, it's not really a yipoy because it's not Urav Yachad, so then why does that split between Shnei Minim Ochlin and Ochlin Psolos? I also didn't understand, I also can't do that. But one thing is pretty clear from this whole discussion is that the Medivar Mum, this Everbar, when you're dealing with, what was the magic with Shnei Minim Ochlin? You're dealing with two types of foods. What are we dealing with? The same kind of food, it's just shaped a little bit different. One's a little bit bigger, one's a little smaller. Would that even be better altogether? So the Pashas Advarim is not necessarily the Ramah right quotes from Chumash Edeshen. That's like a Milsa the Pshita. So Pshita, not everyone agreed to. Taz disagrees. The Ramah says the double portion that if it's min echad, then there's nothing to discuss. So let's say, for example, you have you have a lot of pieces of cake all mixed together. They're all the same cake. It's all brownies. There's one brownie is a little bit bigger, one brownie is a little bit smaller. So that's not burned altogether. That's not Shnei Minim. The whole concept of Shnei Minim doesn't even get off the ground, according to most of the poskim. So this opens up a whole new world. That's how do you define something? There's something called Min Echad, something called Shnei Minim. We'll just throw out a few examples. I gave examples of two brownies. What if you have, I don't know, brownies and blondies? I think they're called
a bowl of jelly beans.
A bowl of jelly beans. What about if you have a pile of socks? Some of black socks, some of blue socks, some of green socks, some of others.
I only own black socks.
Okay, so well, we had to draw the line. What's called menachon? What if you have a plate of chicken that some of the chicken is roasted, some of the chicken is barbecued, some of it is fried. I don't know. At what point do you say that something is, but if it's all made the same way, just there are some tops and some bottoms, are those considered to be menach, those considered to be menach? We have a lot of work cut out for us to talk about, assuming that principle in halacha even exists, menach
v'shnei menach. Once you're looking at it from subjective, so why is that?
Right, okay, great. So we have to figure this out. So we have a lot of things to find. I didn't say, when I started the show, I didn't say boros are an easy melacha. Boros are a very, very hard melacha to fine tune. So again, at least we got the Rosh Prakim. We haven't begun to even scratch the surface in terms of boron. Then when are you allowed to be boron? Alta, mia, dia. So we haven't spoken about any of that yet. We're just trying to figure out, do we even have a boron issue on the table in the first place? So for next week, we'll try to